This is the player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
We got a flight to catch.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Bullshit. This is not Big Ten protocol.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
They play music while you do free throws.
My favorite phrase is, go touch grass.
Recording. February 12th, 2024. You're listening to the sixth podcast of the year. The podcast that endeavors to ask the question that is plaguing us all. They play music during free throws? Joining me. We get to see Karina's face. I made her laugh. Joining me is, as usual, RoboCoco and Jay Tolliver. Special guest, who I just mentioned, is Karina Mustafa. Karina,
hello.
Welcome.
Incredible introduction, by the way.
Thank you.
What a moment.
Never leaving my head. I love it so much.
Yikes. Yeah.
So tell the people what you're doing, where they can find you, what's exciting going on in the world of Karina Mustafa.
Yeah, well, you can find me on Twitter at KarinaMM. Just coming off of a very hectic weekend of Olympic qualifying play. I'm a comms intern for Canada Basketball, and they just squeaked in thanks to a 22-point comeback by Spain, where they won by 1 point, and Canada has now secured their spot in the Olympics this upcoming summer. So all I can say is thank you to the basketball gods for that, but it was a very hectic weekend of just covering that tournament in general. And yeah, just that with school, my last semester right now, my undergrad degree. So yeah, just kind of a crazy time.
Yeah, wild tournament. There was that. There was Germany and Brazil playing for the last spot, basically. And whoever lost was out, I believe, because Germany, if they had lost, they would have lost on point differential. Shoving. Pushing and shoving during that match between Camila Cardoso and Satu Savali. That'll make for a fun WNBA season.
Yeah, and Satu's been posting on Instagram a lot with some some interesting captions, too. So.
Oh, wow. There you go. I need to. Well, no, I'm not kidding myself. I will never, ever look at Instagram. But there was that. There was a Japan-Hungary game that was wild, off the charts. I mentioned it on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. It was insane. Japan is the most entertaining basketball team, I think, and you'll find anywhere. You just watch them play. They don't play like anybody else, and it is really, really cool. And this was in Hungary. Hungary, they had a wild crowd chanting and cheering and you know, doing all the things. If you watch USA Belgium, they were singing. Well, no, this was a lot angrier. they had some very, very, very militaristic chants going on, but it was really, really cool. Super great environment, great play by both teams. It was tremendous. Go and watch that. So what we're getting in today, we got a potpourri for you. We got some fun stuff. There's a whole bunch of things that happen, and we are going to go through them with our guest, and this is going to be fun. But first of all, you brought it up, the Canadian national team. Tell us, what was it like to be covering that? What stories did you get? What do you got?
Yeah, so unfortunately, they didn't have enough money to actually send me over to Hungary. So I did all my coverage here in Toronto. But I was basically on socials all weekend, just live posting everything and working with my supervisor who was actually there in Hungary. And honestly, it was really cool. On a couple of takeaways. I was really happy to see Natalie Achonwa back. I think she's been performing really well in Canadian play ever since coming back from being on mat leave. I was really, really impressed with her like condition. I'm really actually curious to see where she goes in W free agency because she is still a free agent. So I'm still keeping an eye out for that. But honestly, like even just being around her and when she was doing the training camps in Toronto, like she is the leader of that team. And that really came across throughout the weekend as well, too. Bridget Carleton, who just re-signed with the Minnesota Lynx, she always dealt in Canadian international play. She scored a bunch of points this weekend, although I will say the three-point shot wasn't really falling. That was one of a couple of issues that Canada was having. But yeah, and then also Kayla Alexander too, another international star who did really well for Canada. She averaged a double-double throughout the weekend. I don't know. It was just super cool to watch all the games play out. It was very stressful to have to kind of rely on that Spain and Japan game. Spain-Hungary game. To win by one, especially when they went down super early. And I was like, Spain already qualified. They might just not care enough to actually win this game, this last game that they don't technically need.
They played it out. That's great.
They played it out. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I literally had, so I was on socials for Canada basketball. I literally had the thank you post loaded up and ready to go of like the entire Canadian roster about to like type out like, you know, thanks to the fans for like supporting us and all that. And then it was like a 9-point game. Then it was a 5-point game. And then it was like 2-point game. Then it was tied. And I was freaking out. My supervisor was freaking out. By the time I had the qualified graphic ready, I was like literally shaking and I hit send. And luckily I had some semblance of a caption already planned, so I didn't have to use too many brain cells. But man, what a moment.
You outdid Kelsey Plum on the schedule.
Can you imagine?
I was gonna say it was pulled to Kelsey Plum there.
Yeah. I also wanted to shout out some of the younger Canadian players on the squad too, like Sila Swords, who is still in high school and she's committed to Michigan next year. I think it's next year. I can't remember what year, but
yes. Go Blue.
She is already like look super good and dominant against like at the pro level in terms of international play. So she is definitely one to watch out for when she enters the college scene next year. And then Yvonne Ejim, who's a senior at Gonzaga, also got to go overseas with them. Leticia Amahir, who's already in the W, of course. I thought she did really well too. I was really impressed with the minutes that she had. And I think Tanisha Wright should be watching because I think, you know, she can give impactful minutes if given the chance. And yeah, that's kind of my takeaways from the whole weekend, really.
Getting back to Achanwa, has anybody asked her about her intentions as far as WNBA free agency goes? Has she expressed interest in returning or anything like that?
Well, it's already been reported that she's not returning to Minnesota, and I can honestly confirm that. As to where she's going, I'm not sure. I don't really know if she's actually made a decision or really thought about it yet. The last time that I spoke to her was in January during the training camp in Toronto. And I think there was just like, there's just so many things going on with like this Olympic qualifying tournament that who knows where she actually is with which team she's going to be with. But yeah, it's kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah. My general impression watching her play was I'm like, all right, yeah, she looks like she's definitely WNBA ready. And there should be a GM taking a look.
Totally agree.
I'd like to see Kayla Alexander back too. She was briefly on the Sky. Also, I said hi to her in a pizza place and she was very nice. So I would like to see her come back to the league.
That's incredible. Yeah, no, she was definitely the MVP of the weekend. I think she ended up finishing with like 16 points per game and 13 rebounds per game or something like that. She was really dominant.
Nice.
Yeah. She made that the starting five for that.
Yes, she did. So. Yeah.
Sweet. All right. Let us move on to the WNBA transactions that have taken place since we last put out a podcast for you guys. In fact, it happened the day after. Hate it when that happens, but it was probably good because Becky just would have been a bag of tissues, I think, if we had to podcast under those circumstances. Had a little time to get over it. We were talking about the trade between Chicago and Phoenix, Kalia Copper and the rights to Mo Birch for Michaela Onyenwere. I'm saying it the way she told me to pronounce it. Breonna Turner, the 2024 number 3 pick, 2025 second round pick, which was originally from Chicago, 2026 first round pick, and the rights to swap 2026 second round picks. Becky, you've had time to process it. You've had time to go through all five stages of grief. Seems like you went through them pretty fast. You seem to be okay the moment you tweeted.
You just gotta tweet through it. That's the secret.
Tweet through it. It only took one tweet. She was right? Like,
oh, well, I woke up in the morning to like notifications and like someone check in on RoboCoco. I'm like, what has happened? And I was very stressed when I first saw the news that she was going to Phoenix, and I didn't know what the trade would back would be, because my biggest concern was, what if we get Sophie and then like I can't root for a transphobe? So do I boo her even though she's on my team? Like, that was my biggest concern. And I will say, obviously, as a fan, it's always a bummer to lead, to like have someone, a player that's been so important to this team, so important to Chicago, leave the team. I want all of the players that are on the Sky to always be on the Chicago Sky, so it's never fun to watch someone leave. I do think, honestly, it made a lot of sense. I know that Ka forced their hand by demanding the trade. That was reported later by Annie Constable. Shout out. She's just doing amazing work over at the Sun-Times.
Hell yeah.
But I personally was not excited for another year of watching Clea Copper on a middling basketball team kind of wasting her talents, right? I'm excited that she's on a team that's going to be pushing. I think the Phoenix Mercury, like, they are set on, they have DT, they have Brittany Griner, and they are going to try to win championships with them until they retire. Like, that's the Phoenix Mercury mode, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that Ka's on a team like that. And I think it's better, and it makes more sense that if Chicago could not land the big free agents that we wanted to land, couldn't retain our free agents, obviously the organization we've already discussed needs to take a look inward and think about that. I think it makes sense to get some draft picks and commit to the rebuild.
That's very rational.
Yeah, it's just like, I became a Sky fan before we were good. My first year as a Sky fan, we didn't make the playoffs. It was a really bad team, but it was so fun to watch. We had like rookie Diamond Shields and Gabby Williams. That was the first team I had season tickets for, and they were so fun. I loved going to every game. We didn't win anything, and it was great. I had a great time, and then when we did eventually win, it was amazing. But I think our team's going to be fun and bad this year, and I think that's maybe better than
and that's okay.
Right, it's, I think to me that's better than watching Clea Copper like try to will this team to the playoffs and then be an 8 seed and lose. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's the right move for Chicago. I think it's the right move for Kalia. Everyone should stay on the Chicago Sky basketball team, but they can't. So here we are.
Karina, what were your thoughts when you first heard about the trade?
Yeah, I mean, on the Chicago side, I think I echo everything that Becky said. I think it's not as devastating for Chicago as kind of the gut reaction was when that trade happened, especially if you look at some of the moves that they made in terms of signing Kennedy Carter, in terms of signing Diamond Shields back. If you look at the roster with the people that they still have, it really isn't as bad as it was originally made out to be. Like, they're not going to be great. But I think there are pieces that are still going to be super fun to watch this upcoming season. And then on the Phoenix side, I just absolutely love this. And I'm sorry, Becky, but I was kind of hoping Sophie was going to get traded in Chicago with that.
You don't want her.
Why? Why would you do that?
Well, okay, if we're being real, then like nobody should have her. But like, you know, if a trade was going to happen, then I was kind of hoping, because I'm very curious to see what that locker room dynamic is going to be like. We all know the infamous Ka standing over Sophie moment in the playoffs. And I even have that sticker on my water bottle. And yeah, I don't know. I'm very interested to see that. But I think on the Phoenix side,
you tweeted like, it.
I did tweet it because I was sitting in class and my water bottle was on the desk and I was just staring at it. And I was like, wait. I just like clocked this and I decided to post it. I think it got like 200 likes. People loved it. But on the Phoenix side, like, they signed Natasha Cloud, they signed Beck Allen, which is I love that move for them a lot. And assuming BG resigns, because I don't think that's like been made official yet, which I feel like nobody's talking about. This is a very like solid group. Like you pretty much have a full roster that can play together. Like now that you have Coswell too, like you have a lot of great ball handlers, scorers. You have bigs who can screen, who can shoot, who can post up, who can do literally everything. It seems like they're very complete on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. You know, maybe you have like one defensive liability here and there, cough cough DT, but like other than that, like it's fine. Like it, the positives so much outweigh any negative that you can find with that. So I love this for the Mercury. I'm really excited for them to be competitive again. And yeah, and Chicago, yeah, shout out Annie, great work. We'll see how Chicago does this year, but yeah, I think like the whole overall point about, you know, free agents going to places that have the resources, that have the facilities, is a very real one. And we're going to continue to see more players kind of choosing what's right for them overall.
Becky, can I throw you a hypothetical trade? Y'all can actually weigh in on this.
Okay.
Listen, Rebecca Gardner to the New York Liberty for the number 11 pick.
Ooh.
No, because no.
No?
I love her.
I know you do, but yeah, doesn't Becky, she deserve to be on a good team?
Becky's going to stick together.
You got to keep something.
Number 11 pick. Number
11. Number 11.
Pick.
I don't know about number 11.
You know what? After Rebecca Gardner terrorizing Sabrina Ionescu on defense, like I would love to see them on the same side.
Ooh, wee.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's the one trade. Nothing this offseason has bothered me as an Aces fan. That would bother me. That is the one trade that would really bother me. Exactly what New York is missing.
For the Liberty.
Yeah, they need that defensive. They need that defensive guard. They need somebody else aside from Betnijah to guard down the perimeter. And, you'd be a normal rotation against everybody else, but against the Aces, it would be like two of them on the floor. One of them is always on the floor, and I don't think that Sabrina and Courtney would share much time together. It would always be one of them out there.
Okay.
Yeah, they need it. In any case, yeah, that's the one. That's the trade that kind of haunts my dreams right now. The potential trade.
I guess she's a little older, but I feel like
right. She's like 34, I think.
But 11, the number 11 pick, like. Mm-hmm. That's not a guarantee draft. That person's on. It's a good draft, but that's not a guarantee that person's making the roster, you know?
I don't want to make the Chicago roster.
we are filling up our roster. We got Kennedy.
Don't
Carter,
run it past me.
We got people.
Y'all already know not to run nothing past me. Everybody's staying on rosters. Y'all know how I do.
I know.
I don't cut anybody.
That's it.
I think they all deserve it.
It takes a village, and that's the size of your WNBA rosters.
Yeah, okay. 30 players. Y'all just, we'll pay y'all on the low. Just go ahead and go overseas. We'll call y'all when we need y'all. Somebody
you
gonna get
a roster
anyway.
Spot. And
yeah,
you get a roster. Oprah. You get a roster. Oprah handing out roster. All right. Speaking of free agency, let's dive into a few little topics here. We're gonna just touch some button points of that. We kind of had this thought for last week, but we went more on a team by team thing. So we're gonna do it this week with Karina here, and let us talk about our favorite acquisition of this past free agency, and we'll go around the horn. MJ, what was your favorite acquisition of this past free agency?
I would say my favorite. I mean, do I have to include Seattle? Really?
You don't have to. I mean, that seems like pretty
I'm
obvious.
Not gonna
I know we were
them.
Giddy.
Yeah, that's
we were
like
giddy over
obvious.
That. You can pass
yeah,
that
too
by.
Obvious, yeah. Jordan Canada to
Ooh,
Atlanta.
Okay.
Because you know we've been having that discussion. We've like went in depth about the point guard situation. Just in the WNBA in general, and then with Atlanta as well. So, yeah, it's definitely her. Yeah,
yeah. And like even with the other moves that they've made, you know, getting Ariel Powers, getting Tina Charles, who's back in the WNBA too. Like I feel like the dream. Yeah, like let's talk about that. Because the dream just made like a bunch of really good acquisitions to just get even more exciting. So I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, Katrina, since you were not here last week, feel free, man. You could go off on like any particular thoughts that you want to air out about free agency or anything else.
Yeah, I wrote like five different answers for the favorite acquisitions because like so many things happened. Like obviously Seattle Storm, I think, is my top favorite. Just because like I'm so excited to see Skylar back. I think getting Netko was huge. Do we think Chennai is retiring? Because I kind of think
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
She mentioned that, like, what am I going to do now? Cheer you on from the sidelines. It's like, I don't think you're going to be doing that in a Sparks uniform.
Yeah. I mean, she could.
she could be like, yeah, woo!
She was injured. Like,
she's
for a long
on the other team.
Yeah. But no, I think honestly, one of my favorite moves was the Lynx getting Courtney Williams and Alana Smith. I really like Courtney Williams has a soft spot in my heart, just getting to cover her last year in the Canada game, which ironically she was on the Sky facing the Lynx, which is now her current team. But I think she's just such a fun player. So I'm really excited to see her fit with the Lynx. And then also Tiffany Mitchell with the Connecticut Sun, I think is really cool as well. I think, you know, she showed a lot of great stuff last year in the minutes that she did get with Minnesota. So I'm excited to see how that fits, especially since the Sun no longer have Beck Allen and some of the other players. And just keeping Bree Jones was cool, DB as well. Yeah, I think that was like they nailed down the things that they had to do. Otherwise, I may have started to get a tiny bit worried about the Connecticut Sun.
Yeah, they're veterans, though. I mean, I think this team is, I mean, there's obviously some roster changes, but it's still tied to the group that has all played together. And I think that matters, you know?
Yeah.
That continuity. Becky, Robococo, what was your favorite acquisitions of free agency?
Yeah, I also have a little list. Obviously, I think Seattle is just very fun. I'm very excited to watch that team play. For me personally, having Brianna Turner on the Sky, I'm very excited about. I just respect the hell out of her off the court and her point of view and what she stands up for. And I'm excited to see her defense. I think no one's going to score on us with Brianna Turner and
wow, well, the team should be really good if nobody can score on you.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's, that's a pretty strong start. Try to score.
I think Chicago is going to be like Dallas 2.0 after they let Kayla Thornton go and Izzy go, and like you kind of get so many cooks out the kitchen, you know what I mean? But like a junior version of that version of that, like they don't have an Arike and a Satu, but yeah. I think that they have players in place that can actually, you know, come together and formulate some type of identity early on and then go from there, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's all doom or gloom. Like Karina said, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the initial reaction because his Kai was just like, oh, the sky is falling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be that. It's just, it's Kalia Copper and everybody thought that she was going to be the franchise player. So it had that type of impact. They had like franchise player impact. You know what I mean? But they've got veterans on that team. You know, it's not like they're just a team full of rookies or something like that.
Yeah. Also, it's Dana's time. It is Dana's time.
Exactly. I mean, there was a time where she would alternate powers. It's like her and Kalia would switch out. You know what I mean? Like when Dana was on, Kalia would be off. When Kalia was on, Dana would be off. It's like, here, just all you. You know what I mean? So.
I will say, I don't think that there were, well, I guess we'll get to that so much in least. My favorite one was Ivana Dokic being picked up by the New York Liberty on a training camp contract.
That was a sneaky good one, yeah.
It was a really good one. I'm glad. I was just hoping to hell that she would get back into the league, and she did. And I don't know what happened in Seattle. They're gonna regret it. They're gonna regret it because she was damn good, especially first year in the league playing point guard. Did an amazing, fantastic job, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she can accomplish with La Liberté. All right, getting to the least favorites. I'm going to just start this off. This is not particularly negative. I think, in fact, when you go down the list, I don't think there have been were a lot of bad acquisitions. Nothing that was like, there were some real head scratchers last year, you know, and things that like I hated the Christy Wallace for Danielle Robinson trade. I didn't like that for Atlanta at all. I didn't like the signing of Erica Wheeler. Not to criticize Erica Wheeler, but 2 year max was I thought that was out of pocket. Ray Burrell thing this year was a little weird, but I don't hate it, and it's totally fine. This doesn't really impact them that much at all. It's just kind of interesting. So I'm gonna go with, I think Alana Smith signed for too low. I think that she could have gotten 180, especially looking around and seeing what other people got. And I think she had a tremendous year last year. I think the defense is kind of what puts her, for me, into that like 180 category. We were discussing where certain team needs prior to free agency actually starting, and came up with three or four teams that really could have used her and put her to good use. If she had, for example, there was no way they were going to be able to afford it, but if she had, like, say, signed with the Aces, she would have had an amazing season playing power forward next to Asia Wilson and playing defense and all of that. I see you smiling, MJ.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. What's that that smirk? You're feeling Snap just... out with his champagne Aces?
No. We're fine. We got Meg and we got Pancake. What a deal that was.
Yeah, y'all got everybody.
That is also one of my favorites. I love that move. It was just Atlanta getting signed for as much as she did. And it wasn't my favorite location for her because she's going to be playing a lot of center with Fee on the floor. And I don't think that's her best position. Her foul rate. We talked about all of this last week, but it's just like, I could have seen her somewhere playing the four next to a good five. Could have happened in Seattle at the time. Could have happened in Washington. Could happen a lot of places. And it was just like, that's where she went. I mean, I think it's great for Minnesota anyway. They got a rotation of three bigs, all who can defend, and it's a nice problem to have. Figure out playing time amongst those three. So I don't. It's not bad by any stretch. It's just like 150. That was it. Nobody came in higher. She signed kind of quick. I know that. Maybe the appeal of Cheryl Reeves was just enough for her to like, I'll take it. Sign that on the dotted line. But I was like,
Yeah. Didn't you say they didn't really have like a centerpiece-ish last season?
What do you mean? Oh, like a center? Yeah. I mean, Dorka was the best playing next to Fee defensively. And all respect to Jessica Shepherd and to Nikolina Milic. Defense was not great. But yeah, and now that's resolved, essentially, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's it for least favorite. Like I said, it was really kind of hard to come up with this. I'm a little bit of a Tiffany Mitchell skeptic, but Steph White is much smarter than I am, and I think she can probably get something out of her that hasn't been evidence the last 2 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we'll kind of see with that. But all in all, I think the GMs did a pretty decent job this year. Is there anything that stands out that kind of maybe a move you're not too crazy about, Karina?
Well, let me preface this by saying this is just a joke. But Michaela Onyewere getting traded to the Sky before she could be reunited with Beck Allen was just horrendous. Because my first year covering the league was during Mick's rookie year. So I covered when she was on the Liberty with Beck, and she was so happy when the news happened that Beck was on her way to Phoenix, and she posted and she was like, reunion coming soon. And then she gets traded to Chicago, and I'm like, you got to be kidding.
She got yoinked.
Oh, I'm like, that was like a dagger to my heart. I was like, there's no way. I already had to deal with Mick and Didi getting like torn apart and put on different teams, and with obviously like Didi going to Australia afterwards. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, that has to be my least favorite just for that reason alone.
There's another one, Jordan and Monique Billings, UCLA. Mm-hmm. They missed each other. they went to each other's team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised Monique went to LA. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karina.
Yeah, no, that's it. I was angry at that. So there's my piece on that.
The trade gods, they are fickle. What about you, Becky?
It's a little bit last week. I didn't love the Connecticut Sun giving up Natisha Heidemann. Mm-hmm. I think she's a good piece. And it's not that I'm anyway, I don't love giving up to Tiege Hyman. I guess it's the same trade that you're talking about.
Right. Snap.
And then I'm guessing we're going to speak on this, but also the Washington Mystics coring Elena Deladon is a move that I am not enjoying currently.
I'm not upset with Phoenix getting Natasha Cloud, but you know how we've been going back and forth just on our podcast with, and Karina, I don't know if you've heard it by any chance, but we've been kind of, you know, not so high on DT. Like, can you go play some defense or sit down and let somebody else kind of have some shine, or, you know what I mean? That's kind of been our thing. And yeah. And I feel like with Natasha Cloud going over there, okay, so who's starting now? You know what I mean? Or are you going to run Natasha at the two or something like that? DT at the two? And then, you know, so who's going to anchor? What's going to happen with Shug Sutton too? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Does everybody's minutes, because they just brought so many people in, do the people that we began to love, mainly Shug, you know, do they get slotted down now? And it's, especially with Natasha being there, like, I mean, but she's great for Phoenix, but where does the dynamic kind of fit with DT? I want to see it. And until I see it, I'm going to be upset about it, because Natasha could have went to like LA or something like that, somewhere that really, really needed her since Jordan was leaving, or who else? I mean, anybody needs a damn point guard. You could have sent her to Chicago, or she could have went to Chicago, or, you know what I mean? Like, just,
yeah,
DT's over there. And if DT isn't ready to like actually fall in line with what's going on, because a part of me feels like maybe her ego has started to, at least just looking at it, like maybe something happened ego-wise with Skylar. Maybe something happened ego-wise with her just not realizing that maybe, okay, like Klay Thompson, for instance, just said, I'm 35. I got to take a step back. If I got to come off the bench, then so be it, just to stay on this team. Like, you have to understand natural regression as well. Like, okay, I may not be able to fill in here like I used to, but I can still cover these things and I can come off the bench and do that. And then it'll be more effective and efficient for my team to pull that off and me just play a role instead of being like one of the focal points. Not saying DT can't drop 30 on, like, what did she do this season? Didn't she drop like 40 and had like a gang of threes in one of the games? Mm-hmm. Like, we could still see one of those games, but I'm trying to like foresee where Natasha's going to fit into all of this. Like,
yeah. And it'll be interesting too, because Phoenix has that head coach that doesn't really seem to know much about women's basketball, but is a hashtag girl dad. Right. So I think they're going to be relying on
I don't see how that's not a credential.
Right.
He knows girls, so.
My bad.
I mean, what? So he's going to be like, oh yeah, ladies, go ahead. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like that's it.
Anyway, but I think, you know, I think Tosh has Christy Tolliver on the assistant coaching staff behind her there. So it could be a situation where maybe DT does get the start, but gets subbed out early, and then Tosh is just given a lot more of the minutes. Who knows? But yeah, you know, I don't disagree on the ego thing at all. I think also, like, it was interesting to look at Olympic qualifying play for USA over the weekend too.
That's what I mean.
And there's a little bit of those dynamics happening there too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see.
That seeing that added to it for me, because I was already thinking of the Diana ego thing, and it's just like, she's on his roster and they're trying to make her prominent. Like, you already won. You don't, what is there that you feel like you have to continue to prove? Like, are you putting yourself in a space where it's like the only 40 something year old to do ABCD? Like, we know who you are. We know who you are. You don't have to try to force it. You know what I mean? Like, kind of try to win a championship, and you can scale back and say, oh, well, Diana's greatness was, this is who she was, like, when she was at her absolute peak. This is who she was a little bit after. And she actually agreed to kind of fall into a role and kind of be able to usher in. And, like, man, I think she's looking at it all wrong. But I'm going to give it a chance to let the season come on in and see what happens, because I just hope not. And then as far as the coaching, I will just add that I think they have a lot of coaches on the floor as well too, with Natasha, DT, and like you said, Christy Tolliver. So, well, not that Christy's on the floor, but they have coaches on the floor to kind of help the girl dad. So
to help the girl dad, that's an incredible sentence.
Okay, so have we gotten to the understated, most understated WNBA trade for this free agency? Who made a list?
I have the most underrated signing. And I kind of mentioned her a little bit, but Dede Richards with the Washington Mystics. That to me, I heavily missed her not being in the W last year. I was really, really sad to see her get cut from the Liberty. And I know they were sad too, because I know they had a really good relationship. So I'm really excited to see her with the Mystics. The Mystics have signed a couple of good players to some training camp contracts. I hope she sticks around. I think she brings really good defense to the league and can have a really good spot as a role player. So yeah, I think that's been the most underrated signing to me, my opinion. Let me preface that before anybody comes at me.
That's our whole mandate is we're giving our opinions here.
Yeah.
What about you, MJ?
Underrated. I would have said Kalani Brown if she went somewhere else. I'll just go ahead and say Tina Charles, because remember in the last podcast I said, remember I was like, I got a question. And you was like, what? I said, where's Tina Charles? You guys remember that?
You know, you're gonna bring this up every week. No, yeah, we remember it because you brought it up last podcast.
I was just thinking about her, and it's because I had her on my fantasy team. Like I had drafted her, like, oh, she's gonna come back and just gonna hurt somebody, and she never did. And I had to drop her in like week. It was like late. It was too late. And I have been thinking about her ever since. And then the notification came up that was like, WNBA leagues, get ready, fantasy ESPN, fantasy women. So I go to it and it's like Tina Charles is still sitting there on my roster. And I'm just thinking about it like, I wonder if she's coming back. So then we did the pod and I'm like, I wonder if she's coming back. And poof, we're the manifestation station, right? So manifested her right into. So yeah, I would say that, especially for them, with them losing Monique Billings, like, yeah. And then adding Jordan Canada with it, like, they have so many more things that they could do on the floor now as opposed to just ISO. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you kind of raising a good point here. I know I kind of was kind of down on it last week, but I think in the half court, it is really going to help. As long as it doesn't become Tina going, I'm
like
the star,
taking over. Yeah,
I need to take all the shots. I need to take the most shots. That has the potential to go downhill real quick. And
no, because that's Ryan's job.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they've got Alicia Gray, they got Ryan Howard. These are like that stacks up as one of the best wing combinations in the league. You got to let them cook. They're
in Ariel. Got to let Ariel cook a little.
Oh yeah.
Bit.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Becky? Who you got? What's your underrated signing?
Two. One is Natasha Mack was signed to a training camp contract at the Phoenix Mercury. She briefly came through Chicago. We loved her. She's great. Incredible rebounder. Knows for the ball. And then the other one that I think just got lost in the whole Kalia Copper leaving Chicago is that Mo Birch left in that
trade
as well.
That's a good one.
And she was looking really good last year. She had an injury, so she was gone for part of the year. But just a really good mover on offense, like always finds the right place to be, has a great three-point shot for her height. Like I think she's a really strong piece, and obviously the blockbuster is Kalia Copper leaving and Kalia Copper joining the Phoenix Mercury, but Mo Birch is a pretty nice pickup for the Phoenix Mercury, and the Mo Birch Hive is just gonna have to adjust.
You know what's funny about that? I remember, so the morning that Ka got traded, everybody's obviously talking about it. And then I get like the official email from like Chicago PR, or I can't remember if it was Phoenix PR. And I see the Mo's name in there. And I'm like, hold on. I didn't get this the first time when it was first reported. Why is nobody talking about this? Like, I was very confused. I was like, this feels like a very significant part of the trade. And then I went on Twitter. I was like debating, tweeting about it. And like 2 minutes later, people were finally talking about it. But I was like, hold on a second. Like, this has to be included in all of this, because totally agree with you, Becky.
Yeah, for a team without a true, didn't really start this whole process. I mean, when you say once Michaela and Brianna left, you didn't really see like, oh well, where's the power forward minutes coming from? I guess they're going to play Rebecca Allen there, but I don't know if I think that's her best position, because I really like her as a perimeter defender. I like her as somebody who disrupts the ball at the point of attack and things like that. The way she was playing, she played in the playoffs against New York. It was just that was it, man. She was just hounding people all over the place. And so I was like, is that what they're going to do? And then they went and they signed, you know, they had Mo Birch in the Kalia trade, and they signed Natasha Mack, and they signed Makia Harrigan. And it's like, that's a nice little trio of players that you could see, you know, a potential bump from any of them. I think they all have some promise in that regard. Anyway, my underrated signing, I think, just because I heard kind of people crapping on the salary for it, is Katie Lou, Indiana. When you consider, yes. I'm saying this a lot. I think your Canadianness is rubbing off on me, Karina, because I'm being extra polite this episode. no offense again to Victoria Vivians, to Lexi Hull, but one of the biggest problems last year on the Fever was that wing shooting from that spot. And
not too much on my girl Lexi.
No, if you have listened to the podcast, we love us some Lexi Hull, yeah. Or Lexi Huell, as the 3x3 announcer called her. We go all in on Lexi.
That's when she was flexing too.
We just want her to, if she makes her shots, she's a star. The making the shots has been a problem. And I think that getting that wing shooting, even if it isn't like, you know, 38-39%, it's more towards 34 or 35 or whatever her career mark is just going to be huge in and of itself. It's like, that's somebody you have to guard out there. That opens up so much. I think it gives them the freedom to really make it, clear up one of those things when Caitlin comes. She's not going to have to deal with like this one corner that nobody's guarding, and you have that extra player in the lane and everything. So yeah, just from the standpoint of getting some wing shooting out there, I love it. I love that deal.
And her sister Carly in Washington too.
Love Carly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were gushing about that too. I love Carly. I think it's great. It was just a tremendous story. A lot of really great stories. We've brought this up a couple times. Alana Smith, Carly Samuelson, Kalani Brown, yeah, just Megan Gustafson, and of themselves, players who were fringe players, and then they did the thing, and they got rewarded, guaranteed deals all around. Let's go. Okay, we got a couple of other free agents signings to just briefly mention. We got MJ, your girl,
Lexi,
finally got that guaranteed deal she was looking for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's been fighting for that for a while. Like, because like you already know my story with Lexi. I've been following her story and all of that, like, and seeing like the videos of her.
Another great story.
Like
another
from Connecticut all the way through. Yeah. And then on like other people's pods, and like she had like a TV show and some stuff that she was on in the past. And yeah, I don't know why I started following her, but her story just seemed like, you know, it was fitting. And that's something that she mentioned in the past. Like, I just want that guaranteed contract. And so congratulations to Lexi Brown for that, for sure.
She got it along with Kalani. She's one of the only players that signed a deal or an extension or a free agent deal to go into 2026. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works out. Yeah. And then she said something and pissed a bunch of people off. So big week for her. Congratulations. We're not getting into that, by the way. Not going to talk about
need.
It.
No need.
Candace Parker. Back with the Aces, like I've been telling everybody was going to happen. Mm. Some people out there didn't believe me, but she's back. 100K.
She went to Seattle. I mean, huh?
No. She belongs here. She's in the Aces team chat.
You just want to keep popping champagne. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
Was that a question?
Yeah.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing.
I know.
It's
God, I want my team to win.
But he loved the Meg deal. He loved the let me stop. I wish
it. Oh yeah, no. And let me just point out we got 145K or something like that left over.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Right.
And a guaranteed slot.
Becky, get your boy.
I'm gonna I don't think Becky wants to take responsibility for me. Emma Mieseman. All right, moving on. We got my MJ, all right, eyes popped.
I'll
when
see
I said
y'all.
That.
It was nice to meet you, Karina. I'm gone.
No, don't click, 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 click.
All right, now we'll get into this. Elena Deladon has decided to quote unquote step away from basketball for a bit. I, not surprising. I think this free agency wound up being a little bit of reality therapy for her. It just, I don't think the interest was quite what she anticipated it would be, for obvious reasons. It's just all the health reasons. It's not a matter of how she plays when she's on the court. It's to the extent that she can stay on the court. And then Washington just made it a million times worse by coring her and saying, hey, if you're going to sign Elena Deladon, we want something. I don't know any details. I've heard some rumors that they wanted a high draft pick, and I knew that just that was not happening. And I also thought, terrible thing to do, and not just a terrible thing to do from the standpoint of, you know, let's be nice to EDD. If you were going to core somebody, there was probably going to be an easier market for Natasha Cloud. That's probably where you should have gone. But then she may have just accepted the court deal, and then you're having to pay her super max salary, and maybe that's not what they wanted to do. But in any case, here's where we wind up. We got Elena. She's not playing this year. She may not play ever again. She's 34. It comes back. It's the same scenario. She doesn't want to do it again. Is this, have you seen the end of Elena Deladon? Is this what the end result was? Mike Tebow, you suck. That's where I'm at with this. I really hate it. It just, when it's clear that this is not working, rescind the damn core offer and just let her go off to somewhere else. And rather than have this scenario, you didn't get anything anyway. Your franchise player, all-time franchise player, is now pissed off at you. And that there is a definite cachet in that, because people like to have their good players around as ambassadors and talking to people and telling people how great the franchise is and having them back for specific days where everybody lines up to go and celebrate them, things like that. Well, you binned all that. You pissed them off for what? For a trade, a draft pick you weren't going to get or whatever. You wound up with nothing. We don't get Elena Deladon. This sucks. Karina, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much covered everything. I think this is kind of a tough situation in Washington right now, you know, with losing Tash, with coring EDD after, you know, maybe that not being the right decision. I'm now, I think where I'm at is like, hopefully we do get to see her finish out her career when she decides to come back. Like, in the few games that she did play last season, she did look pretty good. Obviously the back things are just so tough, and obviously we know everything that she's gone through so I just want her to be healthy. I just want her to get some kind of closure and goodbye, because it kind of would suck to go out this way, just based on her legacy overall and just kind of the respected player that she is.
Becky, what does Eric Tebow have to do with this?
I don't know. I'm just big mad about it. I'm hopeful that I'm hopeful there's a chance she's still on a court this season, that this is just kind of that move to announce that maybe she's looking to step away is to force the Mystics' hand and allowing her to sign somewhere, to take a deal that they don't want to take a deal, but to do it for her, or to do it because it's better to get a lower draft pick than nothing at all. So I'm holding out a little bit of hope that she'll be on the court anyway, and she's just using some leverage. I mean, obviously, like, we don't know everything and they don't always say everything, and there's a possibility that she had a doctor's appointment that didn't go as well as she was hoping. You know, there's could just be like health reasons that she's thinking she might have to step away too. That she's not as ready to be back on the court as she wants to be. But yeah, no, I really want her to, she deserves, the WNBA is terrible at sending off its players in the right way. We get a few times, like, you have to announce it in advance, like Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles got their full send off, but we lose a lot of our great legends, like, and they just kind of don't get another deal and then they're gone. Like Angel McCountry, it just hasn't come back to the WNBA, and deserves a million accolades, and you just, she never got that retirement tour the way she should have had. The WNBA is bad at treating retiring players the way they should be treated on the way out the door. And so it would be awful for this to happen to a two-time MVP that she also doesn't get the send-off that she deserves to have. And hopefully if she just can't play anymore, there's better ways. There's other ways they can give a send-off besides playing another season, but she can't just fade away from the WNBA. That would just be really unacceptable for the sport, I think.
Well put. MJ, any thoughts?
I'm looking at the potential or the draft order, but I don't want to say a certain team. I just want to try to manifest something.
Okay.
Because Karina and Becky explained enough as far as EDD is concerned, and you too. I just want to say, hopefully we see her move like on draft night. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, the team such and such has drafted such and such, and then maybe two picks later, it's like, oh, we have a trade to announce. I'm thinking that that's maybe the possibility. You know what I mean? That is a possibility. I'm not sure what the rookie scale is financially, but I'm sure they'll have to, you know, make the money work, of course. But
she ain't signed for nothing right now, so
okay. So it could be whatever.
Yeah,
Well, I think that might be what it'll be. Like, somebody might be like, well, because what's Washington's? I don't know. I couldn't find an accurate new. I got the first four, and we already know the first four.
So, wait, I think that actually the draft is going to take place after the core deal would expire. So, I don't think. Yeah. So, Washington, at that point, either
damn
Washington
it.
Rescinds it or.
Oh, this is all of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, I say LA, Chicago, LA, Dallas. Yeah, they're the sixth. Mm-hmm. Never mind. That might not happen. Unless Dallas.
Let's say, let's manifest
unless
it all over
Dallas. Dallas.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know I'm not big on Dallas.
We liked it. We liked it. Yeah. They're going to have to move Natasha Howard then. So that's the rule, I think. All right. Anyway, let's go from that. From something depressing to something uplifting.
Yeah. Please.
Lightning. Did anybody else besides me read and or listen to Asia Wilson's new book, Dear Black Girls?
It's on my list.
It's on your list.
Not yet. It's,
yeah, I haven't had an opportunity either.
I'm making my way through my books list. So.
Getting through. It's a quick one. So if the
audiobook.
Not on the brain. Audiobook only runs 3.5 hours.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's an incredibly long shower. kidding. No, for me. So it's something that you can just hang out while you're doing it at work or working on something else. Then just listen to Asia Wilson's book. You can bang it out over a couple of sessions, 2 days. It's real simple.
Yeah.
I loved it. Now, you know me, I'm not biased. And you know who my favorite player and, in fact, probably top 10 favorite human being is out here with Asia Wilson. I expected that I would enjoy this book. I did not expect to consider it to be a great book. And I think it is a great, great book. Now, it's not an autobiography, which is to its benefit, because a lot of autobiographies are like, here is this interesting thing that happened to me in my sophomore year of college, tells you an anecdote or a story, and you're like, why did I need to know this story? But they got to fill it with something, because nobody's life is interesting unless you like lived in a war-torn country or something and you're, you know, constantly dodging bombs and stuff. Your life ain't that interesting, all right? Not every portion of it needs to be in a damn book. What she does is she shares stories that have come out in her life. And so, like, here's a really good example. She talks about what she went through after her grandmother died. It's very, very sad. Mm. And then, like, not long after, she talks about how she's crying and she's sad, and she goes into Don Staley's office and she's like, Coach, I can't practice today. And Don Staley's like, what's up? What's wrong? What's the matter? And he's like, this guy ghosted me. He left me on red. He's not getting back to me, that kind of thing, which is kind of feels like it's done for comedic effect. But she doesn't tell these stories, either of these stories, for the reasons that you think. She doesn't tell the grandma story because it's sad. It's very sad. That's not why she's telling it. She's not telling the other story, she acknowledges it's ridiculous, but she's not, that's not why she's saying it. She's saying, when you're at, you know, point in life, I think everybody can, you know, maybe identify that having, losing a grandparent might be sad for some people, devastating for others. It was devastating for her because it was, she was such a big part of her life. And it was about what she was going through and how people helped her through it. And it's that kind of, like, people understood, and they didn't, you know, hey, why don't you get over it and come back type of thing. She was ready to quit basketball because for a large part of her thought she was doing it for her grandmother. So she was like, what's the point? And Dawn Staley didn't say, you know, you need to come back or anything. She just, you know, went and comforted her and let her be and let her work through her decision, things like that. And the other part where she's like saying, oh, I was going into her office and I'm crying over this guy who didn't get back to me. And she's saying she didn't treat it like this was a silly story. It wasn't silly at this time. She said, when you're this young, this is like a big thing to you. It's a huge part of your worldview that kind of shakes you, that this person is no longer interested in you. And it's about how she was feeling and how, again, Dawn Staley helped her kind of get through it, acknowledging that this was something that was important to you. You know, take your time, wipe your tears, get back out on the court, get past it. You're better than this. You're better than this guy. That kind of deal. There are some really interesting anecdotes, but basically it's about empathy. That was what the book was about. She doesn't tell any story for the purpose of just telling a story about a thing that happened in her life. That never happens. The book is not about basketball. It is not about Asia Wilson's life. It is about the things that people go through, specifically young Black women when they're growing up, and the things that they're going to discover. And if you're not a Black woman, you can at least empathize with it, and you can see how empathizing with it can help people because they're going through something that is not necessarily familiar to you. And I thought that was just a beautiful message to lay down. That's what she's laying down. She's passing on the understanding that she received from her family members, from her coach, from her therapist, which she endorses going and talking to, getting therapy and talking about these things. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful message. I was really taken aback about how this book was laid out and the way she constructed everything. Just like, it's so wise. It really is. And it was just like, wow, this is a revelation. So yes, I recommend. Go ahead, find out. There was like some really interesting stuff that like how she's dealing with stuff, even past winning her first MVP, the mental stuff that she has had to go through, the things that helped her recover from it, and the things that you can like glean from it in helping other people or going through, if you're going through something like it yourself. Great book. There you go. There is my mini endorsement for Dear Black Girls. Read it. Not just because she's my favorite player. Read this book.
Yeah.
All right.
It was definitely my intention to get that book specifically for my daughter, who has already, I kind of have had an idea of what the book could be about. I didn't know what it was, but I was just going to get it, read it, and give it to my daughter. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I was going to get a hardcover. I'm going to get a hardcover and give it to her because she reads.
Not that I am the expert on what material is appropriate for young people.
She's 16.
I think it's perfectly fine. Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. There's nothing in there that's too risque or too
know,
traumatizing or anything like that. So really good, excellent book for young people, I think. I'm not a young person, so I don't know. But I think that it's worth reading. Anyway, we will close this out, and we're going to look at the WNBA championship odds that were calculated after all of these deals, because I got one look at this and I'm like, bookmark that ish. This is great stuff. We can all talk about what we think. They're play stats right now.
Okay. I'm scared.
That's great. I love that you're on camera because I love seeing our guest's face when I tell things. It's like, yeah, that joke landed, or oh God, that joke did not land.
Can I take one guess? Can I take a wild guess?
Oh, go for it.
Phoenix is third.
No.
Mm.
No. So number one, of course, my beloved Las Vegas Aces. They didn't even know trades took place. Their odds are 10.
Why don't I have a champagne 10 slash 11. Available around here right
no,
now?
No, I got one right here. I got two Magnums right here.
Go ahead.
One in each hand. I don't want the cork to hit me in the eye, so I'll wait until after the podcast.
You just got
to
hold it down and then.
Yeah. I have one in each hand, so I'm going to.
Oh, well, yeah. Something's going to get busted.
So, the Aces odds are 10 slash 11, meaning you have to bet $11 to win 10. So mm-hmm. You don't even get even money on them.
Right.
They didn't know all these trades took place. They were like, what? What's going on? What happened? Oh, okay. All right. Great. And then the New York mm-hmm. Liberty, they didn't either. About the same odds I would have expected prior to all this. 5-2, 2.5-1. Third place, Connecticut. Or tied for third. Connecticut, Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
12-1.
Okay.
Fifth place, Dallas.
Ooh, okay.
14-1, I know. Kreener, you're writing all this down, I hope. Dallas, 14-1. All right, then we take
it. He said down. What?
Sixth place, the Mercury, 20-1.
Behind Dallas?
Behind Dallas.
Wow. Okay.
Seventh place. Oh, you're going to love this. Seventh place, Indiana, 25-1.
Yes. We're going to win.
Yeah. Seventh place.
I got three teams now, by the way.
We'll get to that. A sizable jump to eighth place. 40-1.
Chicago.
Atlanta Dream.
Oh, yeah. Rightfully so.
Ninth place. Another sizable jump. Minnesota Lynx, 60-1. Is that right? Yeah. Tie for 10th. The Mystics and the Sparks, 100-1. And I think this is a bit ridiculous. But no, it's not like I would bet on them anyway. But Chicago Sky are 150-1.
Let them doubt us.
That's a
only fuels us.
I know. Yeah, I was about to say. Right? It's like you're not that much worse than the Sparks right now. Come on.
Nah, not really.
Give me a break. What when I was reading these off, what like super duper surprised you, Karina? What do you think?
Okay. I think right off the bat, I know it's still like on paper.
Yep.
But I think I would have the Storm ahead of the Sun right now, just based off of pure talent. Obviously, we still have to see what Skylar looks like, you know, just coming back from mat leave and all that. But I don't know. And like, I'll compare it with the Canadian odds because the list is kind of similar.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That's cool. I haven't seen those.
They had Aces first, then Liberty. The Storm were ahead of the Sun by a little bit, and then they had the Mercury, which also is another team where might deserve to be higher depending on how they actually look like come playing time. Mm-hmm. The Indiana Fever being that high is very interesting to me. Is that like the one. Caitlin Clark effect?
I think so. That has to be it, right? Yeah, that has to be it.
Because like they were exciting for the first half of the season last year, and then everything just kind of what's happening here? Everything just kind of fell off. MJ's showing
light is not showing her correctly.
What are you doing? You're gonna burn out your cameraman.
I'm trying to show Caitlin Clark because that's who I'm actually watching.
Oh, okay, all right.
MSU.
Yeah, not see it. She looks like
it's my iPad.
But yeah, they were good to start kind of the first part of the season, and then fell off very quickly, and the losses kind of started racking up again. So I have them making the playoffs this year. I think that would be a much safer bet, but I don't know. Being in the top half of winning a championship, not yet. They'll get there.
Top half necessarily, but it's still.
Can I not do math?
That's closer to it's closer to, you know.
Are they right in the middle?
The Mercury than it is the Dream, right above them than below them.
Yeah.
Yeah. 25-1. I was like, wow. Again, I'm not taking that bet. Seattle, I can see a little bit just because it is a group of older players in, you know, we don't think of Jewel Lloyd as old. She's not quote unquote old. She's 30.
Yeah, but it's not like it's DT old. Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, the only person who's DT old is DT, and you know, like Wanda's close.
I'm just saying, this has been a lot of DT slander. I'm sorry. Yeah. I hope she doesn't listen to podcasts.
She doesn't listen to ours anymore.
There is
that's
not
for
a
sure.
chance Diana Taurasi listens to this podcast.
There's a small chance. Small chance Skylar listens to it.
Would you say there's a bigger chance that she listens to this podcast, or there's a bigger chance that the Chicago Sky would win a championship this year?
Ooh,
150-1. No. I would take the sky. It's more like 7,000, 8,000. No, probably like even more than that. Like 70,000, 80,000.
10,001.
I have to put it out there.
She would have to stumble on it by accident and then not know how to change the Spotify playlist at that point.
Oh God!
The only way she would listen to it.
We could try to do a bunch. We could name a podcast something that might make her click on it. Or like she might accidentally be like, "Hey Siri, Google Diana Taurasi stats."
We would call it the WNBA GOAT podcast, and she would think it's about her, and then she would listen to it, and it would be just like,
"Yeah,
smacking her around. What are you still doing on the Olympic team?"
And also, I don't want to.
No,
I think we've made perfectly fair criticism of Taurasi, but I also she's a very good player in the league. I do not want to talk shit about her by any means.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would show us the next night by committing 6 personal fouls.
I still think she would have it in her to, like, if she heard this podcast, just go score 40.
She dropped 30-something on us to knock us out in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
still haven't gotten over that. So, yeah, okay. So, yeah, Indiana is what jumped to my mind. What about you, MJ?
You know I love Indy. You know, I can't really think of who was a surprise. I guess the Sun still being that high, but I mean, Brianna is coming back, right? So
I think it's about right. Like, again, not just the age of the biggest players, but also not a lot of a bench either.
Yeah, but I didn't like the losing of Rebecca Allen or Natisha Heidemann. Like, how do you replace that? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have a who's going to shoot problem. You know what I mean? To some extent.
Tyrus.
Early on. I mean, yeah, Ty. Yeah, Rachel. Yeah, but I mean,
I'm grasping this straws here. That's all I got.
Big buckets, bro. Like, she was making big buckets at like key moments throughout the season. You know what I mean? And they got to rebuild that chemistry, I think. You know what I mean? They got to build that chemistry with those two players in general coming in. You know what I mean? Whereas it was already there with the others. So AT just all she had to do was, oh, Brianna's gone? Oh, okay, well, here. You know what I mean? Like,
can I just say, last year I drafted Dawana Bonner on my fantasy team, and I got made fun of because I drafted her early. And what do you know? She was the MVP of my fantasy team last year.
Nice.
Too. See, so, you know, see, I caped for Dawana. I caped for her. I caped for her as a 20 top 25 player. These two are haters. Not taking any more questions on that.
That's a lie. You made me change my mind about DB because I called her the KD. Well,
you had to have the mind to change. You had to have the mind to change, and that's all I'm going to say. Becky, what about these odds? What jumps out at you?
I will say I don't understand sports betting at all, and so like my mind kind of glazes over as you say those words. But I do think the Lynx seemed low to me.
Yeah.
I feel like people are kind of sleeping on this Lynx team. I think Nafisa Collier is one of the best players in the league right now. I think she's going to be knocking on that MVP door, getting some votes. And so I think people should be scared of the Lynx a little more than they are right now, which may benefit them.
Right.
Won't realize what hit them.
So Karina, one of the things we do is we have an annual for the now they're going on our third year. We have an annual top 25 players list that we do like right before the season starts. And I spend way too much time pondering this thing. It consumes me. I feel like I don't know who it's going to be since this is very context dependent. I try to consider the context. I feel like one of these Lynx players is going to be a top 25 player, and I just don't know which one it is. I think that it could be Courtney because she is dynamic passer, and I think this is a better team to pass to. think she's going to be locked into the thing she does best. Could be Diamond Miller, because, you know, Diamond Miller, just big sophomore jump, could happen. Could be Kayla McBride, who I think is like kind of on the edge of that. But anyway, maybe an Alana Smith if she has a further breakout, something like that. There's going to be somebody else who steps up on this team, is my point. And there are a lot of candidates for it. So I agree with you, Becky. I think that there's something good going on here. But it's also at the same time, I don't think any of those players are necessarily a lock. And that's kind of where, I think that's where those odds stem from, is that you look at them and you're like, this person is definitely going to make a huge improvement this year. You look at them and it's like they've all had varyingly good success doing certain things in the past. And now they have to come together. Form Voltron.
But they have Cheryl, who will be the Cheryl. One. Who's the head in the Power Rangers?
She's an alchemist, right? She's the what, the floating head in the jar, whatever that's called.
Whatever. What's his name?
That is Power Rangers, right?
The
head in the jar.
Isn't it a jar? It's like in a big
I don't watch this Zordon show. No. Zorgon, Zordon, whatever the hell it
it's
is.
It's something like that.
Hello, Rangers.
Yeah, no, that's.
It's in a lava lamp.
Oh
something
my god.
Like that.
This episode.
Much bigger than that. He's much.
Oh, I mean, like huge, a huge lava lamp. Chris Kreme is like, what did I stumble?
Do you not
Why
watch Power
did
Rangers,
I come on to this?
Zordon. Yeah.
Zordon, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess you could say he's in a giant tube, but it's like bigger than a human-sized tube, so I wouldn't really call that like a jar.
That would be really impressive if Cheryl coached from a huge giant tube. She was like 12 feet tall.
Wow.
Anyway. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Karina, do you have anything coming up that you want to make the people aware of?
Just continue to follow Canada Basketball. There's a lot of exciting things happening in the next couple of months leading up to the Paris Olympics. You'll also make me look good in front of my supervisor if you follow us on social media.
So, do it, people.
And then I host Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats podcast network every Tuesday.
Bring that up. I love that podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it. There won't be any episode this week just because of scheduling issues, conflicts, I should say. That sounded harsh, but we will be back next week.
You and Calvin Wetzel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good pod.
Thank you for your time. It sounded like we interfered with that.
Oh, no. It was actually Calvin's fault because he went to see Nebraska, Iowa yesterday. So
okay.
He was traveling. Yeah, I'm throwing him under the bus.
There you go. Calvin. Stop messing around, man.
He got a good game.
He did. He wore his Nebraska shirt.
It was not Big Ten protocol, but it was a good game. Thank you, Lisa Bluter, for closing out, which was probably the dumbest week for basketball discourse. There were so many dumb things that happened, but you
Oh yeah, that was another thing I had in my notes for.
Oh yeah. Oh, you wanna just go through this briefly here? So we had the Lexi thing. We had everything involving Caitlin Clark. It seemed like there were like several things being juggled with Caitlin.
My overall takeaway is the girls are fighting. Can we just chill?
Seriously.
It's been very hostile lately.
Seriously, like, y'all.
Yeah, that's my piece.
To get off of Twitter. If do you love basketball or do you love arguing about basketball?
My favorite phrase is go touch grass.
Get those jeans. There it is.
Joke's on you. I can tweet from the park, you know?
That's right. Touching grass right now.
All right.
Oh my god.
All right.
Two-handed.
All right. Oh, there you go, folks. Words of wisdom. Go touch some grass.
Let's throw it back a little bit, real quick, before we go. What's a never eat food take from you, Karina? If you don't mind.
Oh yeah.
You know how people say no pineapple on pizza, what? No
so here's,
sugar
here's my
on
question.
Rice.
Here's,
no,
we're gonna call back to a previous guest on our pod, somebody you may know named Mark Schindler.
May know Mark. Just a little.
Yeah, you might know him just a little.
She
bit.
Knows him.
Tiny bit. Vaguely familiar.
Mr. Basketball.
What does he say about food where that is just guaranteed to make you roll your eyes or get a sigh?
Okay, listen. Uh-oh. And I'm saying this as his girlfriend. Yes.
Out of love.
No, but I'm like actually like come to his defense a little bit because I think it just his food takes come off as like very controversial, but they're not really that bad. He just has these like very specific tastes and opinions, but he tweets them in a way to get negative attention. And he does it on purpose. Like it's his strategy.
He
does it when he has like writer's block, when he's writing. Like he chooses his moments when he wants to stir shit up and then just kind of deals with it after, and it just helps him. So yeah, y'all are just motivating him when you respond to him on Twitter.
I know, but he can stay away, right?
Yeah.
I think his one take that I don't necessarily, well, actually there's some that I don't agree with, but one of them that I don't is that French toast is the best breakfast food, which he loves French toast. But
that's wild because he doesn't like sauces or syrupy things. I remember that.
He doesn't. So we've had French toast together. He doesn't. Oh. He puts some syrup on it, but he doesn't really like, not really that much.
Powdered sugar.
I think pancakes rule. So there's my take. No, I don't really have anything that you shouldn't eat. I'm not really that picky. I used to be when I was a kid, but not anymore.
That's good. Okay. Parents are proud of you, I'm sure.
Oh, I took many years off their life by being picky as a child. I like y'all don't even understand. I would not eat anything. Like they would take me on vacation and I would end up in the hospital of the country that we were in
because I refusal to eat anything at all.
Like I cost them years and insurance money. So yeah, it's better now. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, on behalf of Karina, we would like to apologize to Karina's parents.
Whoa.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the pod, you guys. It's really great. Your daughter's a wonderful human being. Anyway, this is Ben.
Not listening to
the sixth podcast. Damn it. The sixth podcast of the year. Thank you to our guests.
We were finally going to get a listener. We were so excited.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. We're going to break that record.
One chance. Yeah. Mark will listen. Up to five.
Mark will listen. He'll hear me call him out.
There you go. This has been the sixth podcast of the year. We have generated into insanity as usual. Thank you, Karina, for joining us in our insanity. And
yes.
You are free to leave the asylum now. For MJ Tolliver, Becky Robococo, I am Snap Wilson. We will be coming back. We got some other stuff to discuss. We'll figure out how we're going to do that and maybe with who we are going to do that. And until then, get off of Twitter or X or whatever. Be good to each other. Look at your feeds. Is this a person? Check yourself. Is this a person who loves basketball? Is this a person who loves complaining about basketball? Be the person that loves basketball. Enjoy it. It's here to be enjoyed. It's not here to be yammered about and create stupid shirts and all that other dumb stuff. Okay. All right. That's it. Peace out.
Don't. I was about to go in. I'll just let it go.
No, that's it. Peace out. We're done.
Peace.
Goodbye.